Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
You know, let me ask a question here, according to what we read earlier in Philippians 3:1. Does God want us to be, quote-unquote, safe, unquote?
Oh, absolutely.
He does. Now, how do we keep safe? He said this in Psalm 17:4, "By the word of thy lips," the psalmist said, "I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer." Get the picture of Scripture. As we're walking down the road, the narrow road that leads to life, that narrow road, our feet and our path being lit by what? The Word of God. Remember, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my... Okay, let's stop there for a second and ask ourselves a question. What is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? The Word, God's Word. Not my philosophy, not my poem, not my song. God's Word. Let God be true and every man a lie. God's Word is final authority. Not what I say, not what you say, not what the brother wonderful pastor says. God bless him if he's true, and just the opposite if he's not true. That's what Paul said, right? Yeah. But let God be true and every man a liar. We got to walk after Christ. Christ is a nail-scarred risen Savior, not a man. We see this, and I'm sure you see it a lot, but we see this where people have this propensity like to be like Israel, that they demand a fleshly king. Give us a king, they demanded. And that got them in more trouble.
Waiting is one of the hardest things. That's exactly what, you know, they don't, they like waiting.
Yeah, we live in that kind of culture too, you know?
We do. Fast.
It's self-serving. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, no matter how fast this culture gets, it's never going to be something that's not an essential component to our lives. It's solitude with God. Man, I'm an action person. I've always been that way. But I've got... Yeah, I mean, sports and all that. But I have to settle. There's no if, ands, or buts. I have to settle down every morning in prayer with God and in the Word. And you know what? It's been the best thing to ever happen to me. As a young Christian, there were days I didn't have victory. And when I first got saved, and I'd go to church, get there a little early, to the fellowship I was going to. It was a non-denominational, smaller church in North Alabama. Aaron's heard the story, I think. It's been a while. But I'm telling you, this dude lit me up. This pastor lit my tail up. I'd get there a little early, and I'd talk, him and I'd be talking, and I'd say, man, I'm really need prayer. I'm struggling with this or that. He looked at me one morning after 2 or 3 weeks of that. He put his finger under my chin. He said, "You need to get in the Word." And I mean, he looked at me. He looked through me. He had the sternest, firmest look. I tell you what, man, I've not been out of the Word since. The Bible says, quit ye like men. That means act ye like men. When I became a man, I put away childish things. If you've been saved more than a week or a month, and you're an adult, you need to, or otherwise, you need to get in the Word. My friend Chris Sitters, little girls, 12, 14 years old, you would not believe how much Word. And that girl, he has discipled her. He's going to be rewarded greatly. My son at 5, 6 years old had like 6, 8 scriptures verbatim memorized. And not to show off, now God knows, I'd say, son, what is Philippians 4:13 saying? He'd say it and there'd be other adults around it. A lot of people got embarrassed. Well, maybe they should be. You know, I was talking to a pastor and this other guy the other night. They're going to come some Tuesday night, by the way, this new church in town. I said, brother, we're going to church. We're ever learning and never coming to knowledge. How many scriptures do people have memorized? We don't have God's Word memorized. And we've been supposedly saved for how long? That just doesn't make any sense. What are we doing? Something other than getting God's Word in our heart. And that's wrong. Okay, so he says here in verse 30,
of Acts 20. Also, of your own selves. Hello. They're degreed by you. As if that even matters. Having a degree is not a qualification for being in the ministry. In fact, it pretty much disqualifies you. Unless you denounce it and count it dung like Paul did in Philippians 3, where we started and we are supposed to bounce back to in a minute. Can't promise that, though. Of your own selves shall men arise. How does Satan deceive us? Through men. Seducing spirits working through men, right? Speaking perverse things. If you don't know the word, you don't know that they're putting a spin on it. To do what? What is their goal? What's Satan's goal? To draw away disciples after them. Remember, these guys are ravening wolves. We read in the verse before that. Grievous wolves. Have you ever watched these programs where they show wolves and they attack sheep and lions who attack flocks, you know? What do? They get the weak ones, the ones that are sick and anemic. Are we sick and anemic, or are we full of the word and full of health? Spiritual health is determined by your heart being after God and you being full of the word of God. Amen? And so, if you're not full of the word of God, you're sick and anemic, man. That lion, you say, remember? The Apostle Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, Satan, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we see that same picture here, right? Illustration of wolves, okay, that are going to come among you. We had one come among us a few weeks ago, and he isolated one of the sheep of the Lord's pasture, a brother that was incredibly grown in grace. And he went for the jugular on this brother, but God delivered the brother from this wolf. And, you know, I told this brother, this good brother, I said, man, the victim of this wolf, I said, brother, this does nothing but testify to me how much God is doing in your life, brother. Satan took a shot at you, boy. He took a shot. He's coming after your soul. I mean, it had him disturbed, really disturbed. I've never heard him that disturbed. But God delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. And he'll deliver us, too, if we seek his face. So they're coming in among you. This is not maybe. This is absolute. This is a promise. There will be false prophets among you. In fact, in the last days, the love of many is going to wax cold because iniquity and sin is going to abound. Why? Because evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. That's Matthew 24, 10 through 13, coupled together with 2 Timothy 3:13. God's true representatives are known by their purity of character and doctrine, okay, by their fervency in relationship with Christ. God give us the discerning of spirits. I wrote this down in pencil. If elders whom Paul trained went astray, so could we, right? So could present elders, right? There were elders. There were many that fell away in the New Testament. Paul named 8 people in 4 chapters of 2 Timothy by name, including Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much evil. And God, and he basically said, Lord, reward. He said, reward him according to his works. Let him reap bad fruit, bad consequences. And 8 people, name by name, in 4 chapters. See, folks get all nervous. Hey, the Bible commands us to mark those. That means scope them out. The Greek word for mark is scopeo. That's where we get scope. You know, picture the crosshairs and a rifle. Scope. Scope them out and mark them. This guy's a false prophet. Why do you know that? Well, he's not preaching the word. That's all it takes. Huh? He made me feel good. He told me stories. Was he preaching the Holy Scriptures? No. He's a false prophet. What is it going to take, man? It's not what only they're teaching, what they're not teaching. If they're not teaching the word, they're false. They're not feeding the flock of God. They're entertaining them. See, goats want to be entertained. Sheep want to be fed. It's easy to go to these secret-friendly churches. I'm living in the flesh just like anybody else. And I'm going to be honest. You go to those places, they got the coffee flowing. They got the big screens. They got the pastries. They got the pretty people. And, man, everybody's cool. And when the CEO-type pastor comes out, he's got holes in his jeans. And he's got smoke rolling off the stage. He might have his Harley once a year. He drives up on the stage to make the scene. You know, he's nifty and crafty about unpacking. That's their favorite little term. Scripture passage. Yeah, secret friendly. We got 2 chapters in Deceivers and False Prophets, the book, on that subject. It's very interesting. I had a young lady about 21 come sit down with me one night. She found out I was writing that book, and the first book, yeah, Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. And she sat down and she said, "You're a Christian, right?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I really have some questions. Can you help me?" I said, "Sure. How can I help you?"
She said, well, basically she was saying, I'm really crying out for God, but I can't find him in the church. She said this. She says, I've been just living in sin and going to nightclubs and stuff. And I got to tell you, man, going to some of these churches, these seeker-friendly churches, she didn't know they were called seeker-friendly, but that's what she meant. She was indicated which ones they were. She goes, I feel like I'm in the same place on Sunday morning as I was on Saturday night in the bar. It's no different. Where's the sanctity? Where's the holiness of God? Not holiness as by the flesh, but by the Spirit. You know, where is the sacredness of the Holy Spirit's presence when he's there? There's a sacredness. And you might be dressed stylish. That has nothing to do with it. It might be a nice building with painted walls and nice floors. That's okay too. But what's the substance of what's being done there? There's nothing wrong with a building. There's nothing wrong with a big crowd. But what are they preaching? In most cases, it's regrettable. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I've missed something, guys. But after 25 years of being a Christian and going to hundreds of local fellowships, what's missing? Well, the word's missing. Sorry. We're not getting in the word. We're not doing what the early church did in simplicity. Worshiping God together. By doing what? Well, getting into the apostles' doctrine. That's Jesus' teachings spread from Jesus to his apostles to us, the world, right? And breaking bread, man, getting to know each other, eating together, having communion, and fellowshipping. You know, that's the picture of koinonia fellowship. The Greek word is one glass pouring into the next. And iron sharpening iron, being blessed. I mean, it's so rich. All of these are components that we have to have as Christians in Christian fellowship. And the fourth one was praying together. Oh, John, you got a financial? Let's pray, brother. Oh, is your mom not saying? Oh, can we pray for her? Right, come on, this is simple stuff. It's about worshiping Christ and doing what he said, upholding him and looking at his word. He is the word. And not getting caught up or swept away in anything else. Anything else is not good. It's bad. It's veering you away from worshiping and knowing Jesus better. That's what false prophets do. And one of the most subtle things they do is they use even scriptural things. They put the emphasis on angels. Well, angels are in the Bible. Yeah, including fallen angels, right? And so, you know, this guy Todd Bentley, he's an easy target. That guy's as false as he could possibly be. He's calling on and chanting to a devil. He calls an angel. It is an angel. It's a fallen angel called Emma. And all the glory's going to Emma, not Jesus. Emma didn't die for our sins. The pastor didn't die for our sins. I didn't die for anybody's sins. You didn't die for your own sins. Jesus died for our sins. And they don't hold the head. Colossians 2, 18 and 19. That's a major mark that you have to have established in your spirit by the truth of a false church, a false religion, a false prophet, is they don't uphold the capital H-E-A-D, the one who dwells in a light that no man can approach, the one who is the only holy potentate, the only supreme ruler of the universe that he created, and the body of Christ, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, he says here, what's our protection? See, all of this we're going through for the word safe, right? This is a great text on being safe. How do you keep safe? Well, we quoted Psalm 17:4 earlier. By the words of thy lips, the psalmist said, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. The way you keep safe in the arms of the Lord is to walk according to his word, according to Psalm 17:4. Highly recommend you cross-reference that right here. Okay, so he says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, not 3 months or 3 weeks, but 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Was Paul passionate about this? Some people think I'm passionate about this. I am cold compared to Paul. He cried for 3 years because he knew grievous woes were going to enter in. He knew it by the Holy Spirit. Now, notice he warned them. You ought to underline and circle that word, warn. If somebody is a true prophet of God, a true servant of Christ, what are they doing? They're warning people. Come on. Follow the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said he did three things. Colossians 1:28. What are they, Aaron? Preach, warn, and teach. PWT.
He did three things. Paul did three things to prepare the body of Christ for the return of Christ. And if you're not getting these and walking in these ourselves, we're not prepared to meet him. Preach, warn, teach. It's that middle one that's missing in the modern church. We got a lot of preaching, not a lot of preaching of the word, but we got some preaching, and we got some teaching. If it's the word, that's good. If not, it's not. But anyway, we do have preaching and teaching, but we don't have warning. It's almost unheard of, unfortunately. Paul said he did three things, Colossians 1:28, to prepare the church, and that's what every true servant should be doing, on a one-to-one basis and so forth. Preach, warn, 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 teach. Preach, warn, teach. Preach, warn, teach. Preach, warn, teach. Okay, we need to get the emphasis on warn also. Paul, right after that, said, beware lest any man, here's a warning, beware lest any man, who? A man. Satan works through men. Jesus said, quote, beware of men, unquote. Beware lest any man spoil you, ruin you, steal your reward of eternal life. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and tradition and the rudiments of the thinking of this world, and not after Christ. For you are complete in Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians, right, that same passage says that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are wrapped up in Christ. But yet there are going to be those who teach doctrines that don't hold Christ as the head. They don't magnify Christ. Who is the grand subject of all the scripture, all of life. So he says, I warned you for 3 years, night and day, with tears. Verse 32, our last verse. And now, in this passage, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. He commended them in light of these wolves coming in. What did he do?
Gave them to the Lord,
released them, commended them to God, their relationship with the Lord, which we've been talking about in this all night here. And to what? The Word of God is your protection, the counsel of God, the Word of God, which we have in the 66 glorious books of the Bible. So, Paul, in light of these wolves coming in, he gave them the solution, and that was to be commended to their relationship with God and to his Word of grace. Now, as we flip back over to Philippians 3, I'm going to finish what I was saying earlier. You know, people get all excited about men's books. And yet, the same people, it's troublesome that they don't get excited about God's 66 books. If they were excited about them, they might be in them more. Okay, anyway. Philippians 3:1. Paul, by the Spirit, wants to keep us safe. Okay, and that's why he wrote to them. That's the reason for this epistle, is to keep them safe. All right. From the wolves, which we see throughout Scripture. Warnings about wolves. Okay, verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. How many people know there's evil workers among the people of God working to draw away Christ's disciples, pick them off from the flock? Okay. Beware of dogs. Beware. Twice beware. Three times beware in this verse. You might want to underline that. Beware, beware, beware. Beware of what? Dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Those that try to bring you back under law or under works. You know, today among Gentile believers, you don't have a whole lot of people trying to bring, there are some, but bring you under law. They want to bring you under the law of self, though, and that you can reach this place of sinless perfection all by yourself. And anyway, it's ridiculous. We're seeing that a lot circulating on the internet and all this kind of stuff, which we've been dealing with. We have a series on the website, on the audio page, called The Righteousness of God. It's up to like several segments. It's really good. It really helps you get established, you know, in the fact that you're justified by the grace of God through faith in Christ. Paul told the Galatian believers, the church, he said, you have begun. Who's bewitched you? These guys have bewitched. This is witchcraft. Who has bewitched you? You began in the Spirit, in other words, trusted God by faith in Christ, and were justified. And yet now you're trying to be made perfect in the flesh? And he said, these guys are accursed. They're preaching another Jesus. Another gospel, and it's by another spirit. It's the devil.
And he said they've fallen from grace because they stopped trusting in Christ and started trusting in their own ability to be good enough by keeping enough law. Okay, I call this modern day version of it hyper holiness, where they feign to be working out their own holiness by their own might of their own hand, instead of saying, I'm unholy, I'm wicked, I'm filthy, and being broken in spirit, like Jesus said, you have to be. And the kingdom of God is for only those that are broken in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are desperate for God, realizing how spiritually impoverished they are without Christ. One of the things that's lacking, guys, is our understanding and knowledge and study of who man really is. Who am I? Well, I'm a new creature in Christ. Yeah, but you're also, you got to put away the old man. He's still there too. You see, we got to study the inherent sin of man, the iniquity of man. It's still in us. If it's not in us, then God lied because he said you got to put away something. You got to put on the new man, put off the old man. If you don't have an old man to put off, then why did God tell us to put him off? If Paul put it this way, he said, I had to sentence myself to death. What was he sentencing to death? If there's nothing to die to. There's no sin nature, if you will, or inherent sinful bent, whatever you want to call it. We were by nature, the children of wrath before we got saved. Ephesians 2:2. Now God did a miracle. He made us born again, regenerated by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. But there takes a personal responsibility. I've got to keep under my body. Remember Paul said that? I keep, not once, every day. That's the daily cross. If you're going to follow me, you got to daily, not weekly or monthly. If you're not following Christ daily, you're not following him at all. You got to daily do what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. So there is something that has to be done every day. And that's what, if we have faith in God and we're worshiping and loving him, then we're willing to do this. We're willing to put him first. We want him first. Your life's a whole lot better with him first, isn't it? Okay, so, but it's by his might and power, his resurrection power, as I agree with him that I'm wicked without him and say, Lord, take over, Jesus. That's what you're doing when you say, I'm denying myself, I'm crucified with Christ. There's so many different ways it's said in the Bible. It's a beautiful thing. And that's why these latest two books, I Die Daily and Raised Up, have come out to bring attention to those scriptures. That God said, if I'm following him, I've got to do two things. Deny myself. Don't esteem myself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And then he'll raise me up in his resurrection power. Paul said, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. Isn't that awesome? There it is. Death, burial, and resurrection. Always living the crucified life. Always bearing about in our bodies the dying. See, that's our job, if you will. I hate to use the word job. Calling. Die to self so God can live. But do it out of worship and love for him. In obedience. You know? And then when he raises you up, it's his Holy Ghost power and his resurrection life that's raising you up and producing his fruits and works and blessing through you. Otherwise, you're trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. Okay, beware of these dogs that try to steal the gospel from you, the cross. As we're going to read in the end of this chapter, these guys are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're the enemies of the cross. They don't want you knowing what Jesus said, so they don't mention it about dying to self, about falling into the ground and dying like a seed, like he did, and so that you can be brought forth in the life of Christ in your life. Okay, for we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision. We're already the circumcision, but it's not on the outside. It's on the inside, which worship God in the Spirit. Romans talks about the circumcision of the heart. So we are the circumcision, but it's different. It's different than something done in the flesh, a work or a cut or whatever in the flesh. For we are the circumcision, which we're the true circumcision. I think that's what Romans says. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Amen? And we rejoice in who? In Christ Jesus, not in self. And have what? How much confidence do we have in the flesh? We have no confidence in the flesh. Amen. Aaron, 2 Corinthians 4, brother, if you will. But notice, we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh.
What's that say, 4:5?
4:5 says, not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
So we preach not ourselves, Paul said, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we preach ourselves as being your servants. When's the last time your pastor stood up and said, I'm a servant of God and I'm your servant? That's all I am. We got so many people running around that, you know, well, I'm bishop, I'm prophet this, and I'm apostle this. When is the last time those guys said they're servants? That ought to be a red flag, man. The same Ephesians that we read about, Paul was addressing in Acts 20, in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, right in the beginning there, says he commended them, Jesus commended them, because they were able to identify and discern and mark false apostles, those that claim to be apostles, but they were found to be liars. Anybody that's got to run around touting his title is a real concern. They ought to be a real concern. The Bible says in Job 20, something about flattering titles, and man, it's just a real rebuke. Jesus himself, find that, brother, if you will, concordance below you. Jesus said in Matthew 23, don't be called master, rabbi, and all. You're all brothers, all of you. There's no big me's and little you's. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He that is greatest among you in God's eyes will be servant of all. That's what we should be striving to be, as a servant. People ask all the time, are you a pastor? Are you a nut? Man, I said, I'm just glad to be in his kingdom. I don't deserve it. I'm just a servant. You know, of course, I want to tell them the truth. I'm a wicked, corrupt person without Christ. Now, I'm not living that way because Christ is consuming me. But without him, I'm nothing. Amen. I can do nothing.
I was going to say something, too. What about, you know, like, is it Acts 3? Walk.
Yeah,
I'm like, man.
Yeah.
And his ankles or something messed up. Peter.
Oh.
I'm just saying, he said something where the people marveled, and they said, you know, was it by our own holiness?
13.
Or, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah, the scripture in Job will be a good one. It's just one verse.
Is it flattering titles?
Yeah. Flattering. Okay, we're looking up a verse in the book of Job. Jesus taught his own apostles and us this in Matthew 23, starting in verse 8. But be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, capital M, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Man, doesn't that settle the score, huh? I'm not above you, you're not above me. We're one in Christ. Isn't that awesome? And that's what he was teaching them in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 6. Of being overseers, taking oversight of God's heritage, not your own heritage. You didn't die for anybody to be saved. Only Jesus did. Amen? Okay, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But, oh wait, I missed the verse. Verse 9. Call no man your father upon the earth. The Catholic Church calls their priest father in direct opposition to this verse. Direct opposition to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father, capital F, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, capital M, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, want to be great? Here it is. Listen really close. Open your ears. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Hello. Verse 12, and finally, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You got that one?
Yeah, Job 32:21 says, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man.
Read that one more time.
Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my Maker would soon take me away.
Wow, that's Job.
Job 32:21-22.
Great. Thank you, Eric. Let's finish this chapter. We're in verse 3. For we are this is a good verse to really memorize. Verse 3, Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, not through the flesh. We've begun in the Spirit. Let's don't try to be perfected in the flesh. Remember, we read earlier in the same verse, the same book, 2:13, that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, God's propelling
us to worship Christ. That's how we abide in Him, the Holy Ghost in us, propelling us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to abide in Christ, and empowering us to do that, do such. As we live by faith, we have His grace, power, to worship Him in spirit and in truth the way He prescribed. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, not in self or anything else, but in Christ Jesus, and have no zilch, no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, Paul is saying here in this passage, Paul was not bragging, but he's one of the most learned men that ever lived. And he's saying, I understand you have no excuse, basically, for glorying in your own accomplishments, because if I'm brought to this place to realize all that stuff's but dung, then you need to be too. Okay, you can judge that for yourself. Okay, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. He starts talking about his Jewish resume, basically. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Those things he once counted gain, or now he counts loss, so he can know Christ. Some people that are listening may have a degree, they may have a seminary degree, whatever. Man, it's not till you count that but loss that God is really going to be able to have a relationship with you and use you. Oswald Chambers, in Utmost for His Highest, makes a statement in there, and I like it. He says, man, as soon as you think you are qualified to do ministry, you're immediately disqualified by God. Because you're not trusting God, you're trusting your own ability. See, if God calls you to lead a little Bible study at work or at Sunday school or whatever, and nothing really of the Spirit's going to happen until you and I start praying for the people and praying to God to fill us and consume us and hide us. And also to say, Lord, these are your sheep. These are not my sheep. I didn't die for them. You did. And you know, put it all on God. That's faith. You know what they need. I don't. Lead and guide, oh God. I don't even have, Lord, I've been in your word, but I don't have a specific scripture necessarily in my heart toward this thing, but I know you're going to give it to me because you love those people that you're going to bring. And I don't even know who they're going to be. I don't know who's going to show up. 1 or 100. But Lord, you love them. And you said, feed your sheep. And I know you're going to feed them through me tonight because you called me to do this. That's the way to posture yourself. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I count losing everything a joy so that I can know Jesus, in other words. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He is my prize. Everything else is a joy to lose in light of having Him. Amen. He's my exceeding great reward, as He told Abraham He was in Genesis 15:1. And to be, notice verse 9, and to be found in Him. See, Paul's whole desire is in the end to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness. Wow. If you're found having your own righteousness, you're going to hell. You do not know the Lord. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, right? You will in no wise, not one of you, no case, enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, all the Pharisees and scribes had was self-righteousness. They didn't have Christ's righteousness, which is the only saving righteousness. And it comes and is appropriated by faith in Him and in His blood. Amen? And those today who feign holy and perfect and sinless perfection and that being made perfect in the flesh, all these guys, these false prophets on the internet and all, these guys are going to be found, if they don't repent, in having their own righteousness. They're not fooling God, and they're not fooling the true body of Christ. Okay, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness is, which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he says in verse 12, we're going to finish up here. This is it. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus. Okay, and that's intertwined with being made conformable unto his death at the end of verse 10. Okay, so that in the end he'll be raised up. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That's a deliberate decision of obedience. You got to forget the past. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jump to verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Follow Paul's example. We got many of his books, much of the stuff we just read, we need to follow. That it's not about us. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ, right? It's not about us. We're crucified with Christ. Paul was a man who was crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Verse 18, for many, notice many, he's going to talk about false prophets at the close of this chapter again. For many of whom I have told you, not a few, but many, for many walk, notice it always says many false prophets, 1 John 4:1, Matthew 7:15. Okay, many false prophets. For many walk of whom I have told you. Remember he talked about in the first part of this chapter, the dogs, the evil workers, the concision, these false teachers. He says, many walk of whom I have told you often. He told them often. He warned them often. Amen. As we read in Acts 20. And now tell you even weeping. I'm telling you again, and I'm weeping telling you this. Like he did in Acts 20:31, where he cried for 3 years. Concerned that they would be devoured by false teachers. So he's weeping again. He says that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These guys don't preach the cross. They refuse to preach the day, not only the propitiatory cross of Christ and his blood, but also the daily cross that this Savior commanded. And he said, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, or you're not following me. Verse 19, whose end is destruction. These false teachers are going to hell. 2 Peter 2:3 says their damnation slumbereth not. Damnation, yeah, they're going to hell. They're not just nice little old deceived people. The Bible says they're going to hell. Whose end is what? Destruction. Whose God is their belly. They make their belly their God, their appetites, their own carnal desires, not Christ. Okay, this God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. These are all earmarked fruits of false teachers. They mind earthly things. They're writing books called Your Best Life Now. Not Your Best Life Then, when you're with Jesus in the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, but Your Best Life Now, like the prodigal son tried to have. He took his own inheritance, and he wanted it now, and he wanted to go enjoy it now. That's rebellion, man. And this book has sold how many million? 20, 30, 40? Oh, man. We live in the last day, man. People have itching ears, and they don't want to hear the truth. But after their own lust, doctrine's always a heart matter. After their own lust, they're heaping to themselves, teachers having itching ears. They don't want to go sit under the true preaching of the Word of God and get in the Word themselves. They want to go be entertained. These are goats. These people are not saved. They want to listen to those who mind earthly things. Okay, so both of them are wrong. The one that's listening to them and the one that's actually teaching them the falsehood. Okay, verse 20. For our conversation, our way of life, that means, is in heaven. Look at that. He lived for eternity. Paul said, and well, whoever wrote Hebrews 13, 14, he said, here, right here on the earth, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, the end of it? The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We've got to have faith and let our faith through the scriptures reach into the New Jerusalem. Read Revelation 21, second and last chapter in the Bible. Man, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Whew. God's going to actually dwell with us in a new Jerusalem. It's coming down from heaven. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Please visit safeguardyoursoul.com. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.